Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Bonfire, a podcast about female power, your power, and how to unleash it against the forces that oppose you in the workplace, in your life, in yourself. Our hosts, Rachel Bello and Suzanne Muchen, are serial entrepreneurs and co-founders of, that's right, Bonfire, a talent accelerator for women on the rise. They're here to give you the kind of advice you won't get from your mom, or from HR, or even from the men we love and admire. Listen up. This is the sound of the fire that will set you free.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hey, Rachel.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
We've been waiting for this moment for quite a while. I'm excited.
I am. And today's theme is completely appropriate because our audience may think that we've been ghosting them for the last, whatever, 6 months, which we kind of have.
Which we kind of had. We've said nothing.
We didn't tell them. Yeah.
We just dropped off the face of the earth. Rachel, I think we do owe our listeners an explanation for where we were, since we really weren't ghosting our listeners. We've been spending the last really 6 months rethinking our entire business model at Bonfire. We're in a very aggressive moment of trying to scale that company so that we can provide more talent development to more women. So that's been a really big focus for us. And then we've really been examining this podcast. I mean, you and I have conversations every single day about what we want to talk about, the fact that we want to really be focused on supporting women. And we have a lot to say. So we wanted to make sure that we were saying it with focus and integrity. So we relaunched. We relaunched and rebranded.
Yep. So today we are talking about ghosting as a social phenomenon, as something that happens to you, it happens to us, and by the way, that you do and don't say you don't. And the reason you need to hear this show is that, Suzanne, I sometimes feel like we're frogs in a pan, and just generally in our lives, and shit goes wrong, but in time, tiny little degrees. And then at some point we wake up and go, wait, this sucks. This is not the way it should be. And I'm suggesting that ghosting is one of those things where somehow in our lives, we have come to believe that this is okay. And we believe it's not. So just so our listeners understand what we mean by ghosting, I think most people know it. It's a pretty pervasive cultural term, but just in case you're confused by it, ghosting is when you get a message or a call, someone leaves you a message or a text, and you do not answer. And I don't mean like you wait a long time to answer. I mean, you never answer. And ghosting usually follows an exchange, right? Where you started being, you know, having an exchange, and then suddenly you disappeared, you Caspered, you ghosted.
Remember, Rachel, when we used to feel that anyone who didn't get back to us was in such bad form, who didn't reply to an email.
Shocked, I tell you.
Shocked, right? And now the worst part about it is not only has it become a social norm, but recently even we engaged in this behavior. So we want to talk about this today because we want to ask a couple of questions. Is ghosting now a norm? I mean, has COVID created this world in which, because we don't see each other or bump into each other with, you know, the kind of frequency, that we can just get away with this? And is that okay? How have we gotten to the point, Rachel, where you and I have become people who ghost?
I really do want to to ask that question about ourselves. Is that okay? I really think it isn't, but let's examine it. And you know what? We're actually going to get some people calling into the show, telling their personal experiences so that it isn't just us talking to ourselves.
And then we're going to analyze them.
Yep, we are.
We're going to analyze them, explain whether or not we think they're good ghosters or people who, you know, are in complicated situations.
Another question here, Suzanne, that we are really going to look at, because we want to do that in every show of May Day, every episode. Do females respond to this differently? Do females do this differently or less often? And let's look at that angle of ghosting as well.
When my depression works the graveyard shift, all of the people I've ghosted stand there in the room.
And in fact, that can lead us into our own recent ghosting experience, because what was interesting about that was, in spite of us being truly appalled by what is typically men's behavior, we've always said men feel so comfortable just not replying to an email, even when we would turn in a deliverable, like something profound that we had worked on, they would just ghost us. I mean, not even thank you, not even got it, we'll take a look at it, just nothing, right? So we always felt that that was a very male behavior. But pretty recently, we were on a chain. It was two of us and two women clients, but they were former clients. So, you know, we don't talk to them all that much anymore. And they had made an introduction to a new person. You and I don't respond well to that because we're busy. And if you make a cold introduction, it's really hard for us.
I never do that with people. I always email first going, is it okay if I introduce you to?
Right. So you should listen to
our- They didn't do that. They didn't
No. And you should listen to our podcast on The Big Payoff, Please Don't Ask to Pick My Brain, where we talk about that. But in this case, it was a cold introduction. And you and I were like, fuck, we don't want this introduction. We didn't ask for this introduction. And there's two women in the mix, and then us, the two of us. And it went days and we didn't even talk.
And you know what I was thinking? I was like, it was almost like a game of chicken with you about like, well, I'm going to ghost. If you're going to go, you're going to ghost. I'm going to ghost. We're going to ghost.
And you're typically nicer than me. You're typically the one who sort of jumps in with something nice.
And you know what you say to me? What do you say to me when I do that?
I say, you're a better person than me.
Oh.
What do I say?
You send me an email with two words.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do usually say that. Okay. But in this case, we just ghost. Okay. Yep. But now I have to admit something to you. This is really crazy in terms of this dynamic. So we just flat out ghost. I mean, weeks have gone by. Mm-hmm. And finally, I'm in a state maybe last weekend where I'm really clearing out my inbox and trying to get to inbox zero. And I'm in such a state of just wanting to get every email out of my inbox. And for some reason, I had kept that one in, thinking to myself, oh, maybe I'll respond.
It's been like 15 days now.
It's been 15 days. So I spent a good 20 minutes trying to craft a response that both accounted for the fact that we hadn't responded and blew them off at the same time. And I had like four different iterations of it until I woke myself up. I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you spending?
So what did you end up doing?
Deleted them all.
So you'd ghosted.
Yes, but
it was like a long detour to ghosting.
My psychology was, this isn't good behavior to ghost people. You owe them a response. You're a bad person if you don't. You'll look really bad. So you should write. I mean, the psychology.
You know, I think I just realized something. I bet you that is something that a lot of people who ghost actually do, that they mean to respond, but they don't really want to. So it takes a long time. And then they find themselves a month out and they're like, oh God, now I have to both apologize for the time and, so you did ghost.
All right. Let's talk about the fact that when we return in a moment, we're going to listen to some people who have also ghosted, hear what they have to say about it.
been ghosted. I think they've been ghosted. And ghosted.
No, some of them are ghosters.
Our first phone call is from Lisa C, and she lives in LA and works in the entertainment industry. And let's listen to what her experience is.
Hello, my name is Lisa Costantino, and I'm an executive assistant for marketing and franchise. I have been ghosted. When I started applying for jobs, there were certain instances when I was applying for a position and I would cold apply. I would put my application in and I would, you know, meet the recruiter. And then from there, they would set me up and have them meet the team that I'd be working with. And, you know, I would interview with the team. I would set up my proposition of why I think I would be a great fit for that position. And then they would ghost me. And those were the ones that would hurt the most, you know. When I would get through the recruiter, which is already half the battle. I understand if I'm not the right fit, but if I get ghosted, that it stung a little more, you know, because it felt a lot more personal and a little more intimate that they rejected me, not only rejected me, but didn't follow up with anything. And then I would get an email from the Disney Careers website, just a really basic email saying that I didn't get the job. So those would hurt the most.
Wow. Wow. You know, for me, I find it absolutely appalling that if I were a company and I had hired recruiters and I knew that they were ghosting people that they recruited, I'd be pissed. It's like, oh, is that the kind of culture you're setting up here?
So I have a slightly different take on this, actually. And it came late in the call, okay? So one take is, which I was feeling, especially when she said how hurt she was, and I was with her on this. You meet these people, it's a human interaction, and you almost feel, especially if you're the one really putting yourself out and making yourself vulnerable and exposed, like you've built a relationship. But the people doing the recruiting, they're seeing a lot of people, not just you. And it's really not on them to build a relationship with you if they're not hiring you.
That's fine, but they have to say something.
No. So it's interesting. At first, I felt really bad. And then when it said she just got a generic email.
Oh, I missed that. I mean, I did. I heard it. But that's not ghosting, my friend.
It's not ghosting. And I was like, look, I'm so sorry to say this, but if you're interviewing at a big company where there's a process, it really isn't on the people you're interviewing with to personally call you back or email you back with feedback or a nice note. You got the email. You weren't ghosted.
Then here's the takeaway I would say to Lisa and all Lisas out there, which is, there is an important difference between being disappointed, yes, and even shattered and ego wounded and being ghosted. If they had literally not responded, which was, it's so interesting because I was thinking about this as a ghosting episode. I did hear her say basic email in the response. I just wasn't taking it in. But there's a difference between, you know, having the other person not put as much weight and importance on the interaction as you did. There's a difference between that and being ghosted.
Yeah.
So sorry, Lisa, you kind of have to swallow that and not put it on them, but go, yeah, I was super disappointed. Do you want to listen to another call? Let's do it.
Oh, I sure do. Our next guest is Sima. And Sima works as a corporate marketer and a professional public speaker, and she lives in Chicago.
Hi, my name is Sima, and I spent my first career, 20 plus years, as a corporate high-tech marketer. Only now that I'm on my own for 14 years as an international keynote speaker, corporate trainer, and executive coach, I don't love the slow, complex sale. Nor do I love being ghosted, which is exactly what happened to me. I was on holiday in Hawaii, so big time difference, enjoying the sun and the fun, when an inbound lead came my way. This person was the training director for a large hotel brand, and she was in a hurry. So I put everything aside, took her call, put together a proposal, and followed up lickety-split. Only she wasn't very quick to reply. In fact, she never did. And I couldn't understand it because she made me jump through hoops. You know, you might think I thought it was me, but actually, I demoted her. In my catalog of contacts, in my mental Rolodex, if you will, I demoted her. I put her down as somebody who didn't respect people or time or business owners or anything. And I should give her the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard to do when I know I'm responsible for not ghosting others. There you have it. Lost that one, but I'll get the next one.
Wow.
I love what she did with that. Really
did. She's badass. Well, what do you love about it, Rachel?
What I love is that she reminded us that this is all about power, and that she took the power back from this situation. It was fucked up. I mean, it is fucked up that someone would ask you to make room in your vacation and get you to jump through hoops and then not call. But it's a reminder that ghosting is an abuse of power, and that if someone abuses you, you can actually decide to take that power back and say, I'm not going to be working with someone like that.
Again, I have a slightly different take on this. Now, what I agree with is any person can choose to respond to ghosting behavior however they want. And I am 100% in agreement that ghosting is about power. And as the recipient of ghosting, you can respond in all kinds of ways, including what I absolutely agree with, ghost them back, take them off your radar and move on. And here at our company at Bonfire, we call it punch and move, just move on, right? But here's the one little twist of it. First of all, do we know that this person knew that Sima was on vacation? Because that is a little weird to say, look, I'm on vacation, but I'm responding to you anyway. It's like, that's a little, if somebody did that to me.
Well, I got the impression that they had set up a phone call.
But even so.
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Saying, if you set up a phone call, you don't ghost people.
Okay. But even so, it's on her that she decided to take the call on vacation. Like, that's on her. And then the other thing I would say is she could have given this person one benefit of the doubt moment, just one. I would have. Here's what I would have done.
Suzanne, I just want to remind you that fairly recently, where we were interviewing for a position, and we kind of had decided, like, well, we didn't love it, but well, we actually hadn't decided at all, really. But this person, you and I were waiting for the call.
Oh, I remember.
And it was like 30 seconds late. And we were like, yeah, no. Oh, what? A minute? No. Yeah. Fuck that. No. Oh, see, what? No, we're gone. We're done. We're out the whole time.
Okay. That might be a little different because this person was late for a call with the two founders of the company. Like, that's bad without communicating.
Oh, because we're so powerful, right? So
yes, 100%. Okay. Now that said, I might have given, and we did give this person another chance, by the way, but we were angry in the moment.
Another minute. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Reluctantly. I would have just said one time, I was surprised not to hear from you. Passive aggressive, I know, but I would have done it.
That's your favorite line. I was confused. I was surprised. Like, no, you're not. You're not.
I would have just once just said, I was surprised not to hear from you. Is everything okay? Maybe she was in a car accident. I mean, we don't know.
I still, in general, like whether this particular, whether she should get it. What I really want us to take away from this call is that you actually do have the choice. What's really interesting is the idea that you could go, actually, I'm keeping my own list of whom I want to deal with and whom I do not, right? And this person has just been demoted. I like that.
No presents on Christmas for you. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. I liked Sim a lot. All right. We have one more. Let's take a listen. Who do we have, Rachel?
Well, this is a call from Megan, and Megan works in Chicago as a clinical researcher. And here's her story.
My name is Megan Fedraga. My educational background is in biological sciences. The experience I want to share with you happened back in August of 2019. I had quit my then employer of 16 months with one single email and a single follow-up phone call. I'd quit it. I don't think my employers knew I was that serious. The employer, an online media company, what I did was a business development manager. Now, looking back, it took me about 14 months to figure out that that role was more experimental than practical. And I'm laughing because I'm a biology major. I studied research design. I should see these things written on the wall. But I didn't, because I felt like a member of their family. And you don't ghost your family, right? Well, it would seem that that's exactly what I intended on doing in August of 2019. Again, looking back, it was not my proudest moment, and I do still hold my breath each time a new employer asks to do an employee background check. Now, I'm not sure how all of this relates to the power in the workplace, gender dynamic, because in those final moments, when I hit the send and then decided to never follow up with any of the follow-up emails that I received or phone call messages, I felt completely powerless, and I'm not sure what that says about me. And I'm not even sure that this experience has changed me for the better. But I do know I'm still left grappling with all of these questions going on 3 years since having done this.
Okay, well, that was an interesting on it. She was the ghoster.
So here's another era that we're in. I think we're in a moment in time in which employees feel a few things. One, that they have the power in a lot of situations now where the world has sort of turned on its head. It may be revolving back, but surely many employees feel they no longer are at the, you know, beck and call of their company. And the second thing a lot of employees are waking up to is that their employer is not their family. That as much as employers love to say, we're all a big, happy family, many employees don't feel that way. And so to quit with an email, look, if I were the employer, I'd be pissed. But really, Rachel, what is the difference between that and an employer telling an employee at the end of a day on Friday, we're so sorry, today's your last day?
Well, you wouldn't do that as an employer without having a file and having had, as we know, performance reviews. You know why you're being fired. You don't just go, I'm sorry, you're fired. Right. So similarly, on the other end of the spectrum, unless that email explained why, what the circumstances were, in which case I would still say, not beautiful form. You're going to get people not. And she says,
she lives in terror.
Right. So
that's bad. Yeah, I mean,
and that's really the reason. It's like, look, if you behave in a way where you are then carrying the sin, then, you know, It's on you.
I would be upset if one of our kids, our collective children.
Since one you and I had together?
Yes, we parent our children together. Had come to us and told us this story, we'd be furious.
Well, I'd be pretty pissed. Well, mainly what I would do, actually, pissed wouldn't be my first response. I know it would be yours as a parent. But for me, what I would be asking is, so let's look into that response, because to me, it feels like a fear response. Why are you afraid of the confrontation and the encounter that would be required to say, I didn't want this job, I'm not happy at this job, and I'm going to be leaving it? Because what you've done is you've unempowered yourself. By having that encounter, you would have built the muscle necessary to have an uncomfortable conversation.
Right. Well, that is so I think at the heart of ghosting is the lack of skill that an entire generation has in having a difficult conversation. We are literally raising a whole group of people who doesn't know how to have the conversation that needs to be had in order to actually just move on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's maybe an unpopular thing to say. I think women have more trouble with this than men.
Oh,
I think the reason is that we are trained not to create discomfort.
Yes.
In fact, to salve discomfort, to be the salve. I'm going to start creating discomfort with you and then just like not dealing with it, if that's okay. I think that's good.
Okay. I have something to tell you that I haven't told you about your texts, which maybe you know.
Yeah.
You know this about your texts and what I'm about to tell you?
No.
Do you know that you have the alert on where I can see what time you've read it?
No, I don't. I turn it off with most people, but do I have to turn it off all across the board?
Well, so I know if you've read my texts and at what time. So if you ghost me.
But I don't ghost you. I just sometimes take my time. I don't actually.
Well, but that's the point. So I know, like, if you're on your text, because you're reading mine, so right. I can call you, I can FaceTime you, I can bug the shit out of you until you respond to me.
No, because I could be on a call or doing something else.
I don't care.
Okay. I thought you were going to reveal something really shocking, but can we like sweep back through this show and do some like,
takeaways.
What do we make of all this? Yeah.
Is this it? Mayday. Is it? Yes.
Okay, well, we've reached the part of our show that is called Your Mayday, and that is the kind of summation of takeaways that we got from the conversation and that you can take away with you. We have four takeaways from this conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing that I make of it that is like, this may seem sort of, I just think this is your first principle of any kind of behavior where the social norm seems to be moving in this direction, but it feels shitty. It feels shitty when you do it. It feels shitty when it's not. I think as a basic rule, the do unto others rule, where it's like, look, don't do to somebody else what you really, really would not like done unto you. It seems kind of basic, but that would be a pretty good guidepost for something like this.
I think another takeaway here is you do have the power, let's use Sima as an example, to choose how to respond in the face of somebody who ghosts you. It isn't powerless. You're not powerless in that moment. So look, you can choose to confront the person in any way that you want to. And sometimes confronting them means taking the power back.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we haven't really talked about that. That's fascinating of like, right? At what point do you confront the bad behavior? You know, in emails, it's become a thing to go, hey, bumping this up.
Oh God, like, I never respond to that.
I know.
I never respond. If you bump something up in my inbox.
Right. I'll bump you out. Right.
Back down.
So do you sometimes confront?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, yes. And I've had people confront me about it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, you know this because my children complain to you. about my sometimes not responding to their texts. Like, isn't that bizarre that they complain to you about me? It's not okay. I think that's so not acceptable.
I hold everything so sweetly. So here is another takeaway. Ask yourself, when you are the ghoster, what are you avoiding?
Yes.
Right? Why are you, just kind of interrogate that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the final thing I would say is, if you were to respond and you're about to ghost, what could you practice? Even if it's like a little micro rep, what is the little thing you could practice that would make you a little uncomfortable, but it's a throwaway moment? It's like, let me just practice. Maybe sometimes, and actually I did this today. I responded to somebody by text who I had not responded to for like a week, but I cared enough about this person that I had to create a response that was true, but also didn't ghost the person, but didn't invite a lot more texts back. Okay. It was a little rep. What can you practice as a response instead of ghosting?
Yep. It's good. And you, by doing that, you'll get little phrases in your vocabulary that you can then reuse that are just kind, but also boundary.
Right. Like when I tell you, shut up.
Right. Kind and boundary.
Kind and also really direct.
Okay. Right. So I mean, that's literally the ghosting conversation. And now let's go to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Check this out.
Rachel, before we go into what we're recommending, we should always remind our listeners we are not being paid to promote anything we ever put in the Check This Out. This is purely the things that we love, we use, we find fascinating in our
team. Although it is true, Suzanne, that I would pay you not to recommend certain things you've recommended in the past.
Okay, here's my Check This Out. And I'm already feeling defensive because I feel as if you are going to respond to this in a not supportive way, even though I think you should be trying this and buying the entire starter kit. So the brand is called Clever, C-L-E-V-R. And if you, do you know about this?
Nope.
Okay. They're called Clever Blends.
Oh God. Oh God. No,
Rachel, please stop. You don't, I don't do this when you get here.
Okay.
So they are oat milk based super lattes for mood, energy, and stress. There are four different kinds. Actually, there's more. There's like,
oh, they're lattes. Okay. I'm down with that.
Okay. There's rose cocoa super latte, a golden with turmeric. There's just a plain coffee one. There's a chai and there's a matcha. They have adaptogens in them, shrooms in them, probiotics in them. I mean, not shrooms like those shrooms, but like, and it is so easy and it comes with the blender and you just pour hot water into it. You pour about 2 ounces of hot water. So then you blend, it becomes all frothy and then you add the rest of the water and there's your latte and it already has the oat milk in it. Then you put it in the refrigerator once it's opened. It's very good.
Okay.
And then they have one for sleep also that you can make at night.
I love it. I love
it. And it comes with a scoop.
Okay.
C-L-E-V-R. Now I will say that both, so Ariel and Joey, two of my children, become violent when brands drop a vowel. So they wouldn't buy it on, based on that alone. But if you can get past the fact that it's clever without the last E, I think you would enjoy it.
Okay. My girls become violent when I try to introduce anything that is, even as an aside, is low calorie, right? And they take the first sip and they go, it tastes like cancer, Mom. And I'm like, no, that's just stevia, you guys. It doesn't have any calories. Okay. But I'm down with that. I like it. I just wrote it, Mom. I'm going to order it. Woohoo. I love that. Okay. This may be wide knowledge to everyone who owns AirPods Pro. Do you own Pro or just regular AirPods?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, there are lots of people buying AirPod Pro. Okay, so here's the thing. I do not read instructions. I have never
That's a
I do not read instructions.
Obvious.
literally every test I've ever taken, if I ever get anything, it's always like, instruction. Okay. When I put chairs together for IKEA, fuck that. Not reading instructions. I don't need that. All right. So when I got my AirPods Pro, you can see them, I didn't read the instructions. So my brother comes in from California and I put the AirPods Pro in my ears and I'm talking to him and I go, what? Because, you know, when you have the AirPods Pro, sometimes
you said, what did you say?
What did you say? Right. And he goes, Rachel, you know that if you I did know that it has a little thing on the side, and having experimented without reading the instructions, I pressed it and realized, oh, I can stop my audiobook or whatever I'm listening to by pressing that thing. Oh, but here's the secret. And he actually did say, this is in the back of the instruction book and not everybody reads that way. If you continue to press, if you press a long time on it, it changes the AirPods basically into like hearing aids. And you not only can hear what people are saying, even though you have these in your ear, it's really clear. And I'm like, oh my God. So like people who need hearing aids should use this. It's really, really amazing. So often when I'm talking to you, for example, and I want to hear what the vendor is saying to me, like, did you want that on toast or did you want that? I can just go press a long time. Now I can hear them. Here's what I'm saying to people. When you have your AirPods Pro, try pressing a long time and then pressing again a long time. And that puts you back just into listening, whatever you're listening to. And press it once short and it ends either the call or whatever
you're listening. The idea that you can control who you're listening to at any moment in time is terrifying to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What'd you say? Well, that was fun, Suzanne. I'm so glad we've unghosted everybody and that we're back with Mayday. That was really fun. And thank you for listening, everybody.
We are Mayday. And don't forget to tune in to our next episode because Rachel and I are going to unpack workplace flirting. Look, workplace flirting has taken on a whole new meaning since the Me Too movement, which just begs the question, which we are going to explore, is workplace flirting dead forever?
Hey, thank you for listening to Bonfire. This podcast is a production of Bonfire Women Incorporated, bonfirewomen.com. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Bonfire wherever you listen to podcasts. We love hearing from you. Questions, quandaries, things you want us to talk about, anything. You can reach us at bonfirewomen.com/podcast. The show is produced by Elizabeth Goldblatt, edited and engineered by Ryan Derringer at Welterweight Sound.
The views, information, and opinions expressed during the Bonfire podcast are solely those of the hosts and do not necessarily represent those of the Bonfire Women, Inc. company and its employees. Thanks for listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.